Welcome, brothers and sisters, to the radio worship service of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. We bring you this service each week on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. It's Sunday, November the 22nd, and we begin, as we always do, with a prelude from Marina Mitchell. Please join me for an opening prayer. Holy God, you are our creator and our redeemer and our sustainer. As we gather around radios and Alexas and laptops on this day, Lord, speak to us through the words proclaimed, the songs presented, the prayers offered, and the blessings of being joined in together by the Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Chris Tomlin is a well-known contemporary Christian artist who has many songs and many awards to his name. Tomlin was born and raised in Texas and was given his first guitar by his father, and he learned to play the guitar by listening to Willie Nelson records. Along with his work in contemporary Christian music, he and his wife are also involved in many charitable efforts. In 2008, he released the song our praise team now brings us, called God of the City. Please join us in worship with this song.
You're the God of the city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light of the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things have still to be done in this city. Yeah. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things have still to be done here. You're the Lord of creation. You're the creator of all things. You're the King above all kings. You are. You're the strength in the weakness. You're the love to the broken. You're the joy in the sadness. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Where glory shines, the lives alive, and praise for you and love for you in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done here.
We turn now today to an Old Testament reading from the book of Psalms. We look specifically at Psalm 84. Listen as I read verses 1 through 12, always in the NIV version. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, ever faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. May God bless to us the reading of God's word this day. Amen. Chara H. Scott was an American composer and hymn writer. In 1882, she was the first woman to publish a list of hymns in a book. 13 years later, she would write the words to the hymn, which is titled, Open My Eyes That I May See. She completed this shortly before her unexpected death by being thrown from her carriage when her horse was spooked. She based the words from several passages in both the Old and the New Testament that encourage us to seek God with open eyes, while also watching in silence for the presence of God. Please join our TPC singers as they lead us in this hymn, Open My Eyes That I May See. Please pray with me. Lord, now let the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, And please remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. There's a story of a young girl named Sally who was in art class one day and was given the instruction to draw a picture of whatever she wanted. As the teacher traveled from student to student, the teacher came to Sally and could not quite make out what Sally was drawing. So the teacher asked her, "Sally, what are you drawing?" Sally responded almost immediately with, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher, a bit surprised, responded with, "But Sally, no one has ever seen God. No one knows what God looks like." Sally was quick to respond, "Well, when I get done, they sure will know what God looks like." We all have our own ideas about God. Not only what God might look like, if something that's a spirit can have an image, but also what God's personality is like. In the early 1700s, the famous Jonathan Edwards traveled around the country preaching revival messages. He was what we would call a hellfire and damnation preacher. His most famous sermon was titled "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." In the sermon, he preached over and over again that God gives us an opportunity for salvation, but if we don't accept it, we wind up in hell where we'll be punished and tormented forever. That was his image of God. Fast forward to a modern-day Lutheran preacher by the name of Nadia Boles Weber, who says this about God: "It's God saying, 'I love the world too much to let your sin define you and be your final word. I am a God who makes all things new.'" The question I might ask you today is, what is your God to you? Is your God a God of punishment? Is your God a God of love? Is your God a God of new life? How about salvation? Is God all of the above? Today we read from Psalm 84, and if we look at verse 11, we find out exactly who God is according to the psalmist. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." This verse tells us three things about who God is, and they're what I like to call the three P's. We learn about God's protection, God's provision, and God's promise. This is a God of grace and glory. This is a God who, in his Son Jesus, became the Savior of the world, but also on this last day in the liturgical year of the church, it's also the day we call Christ the King Sunday. God is our heavenly King. We begin with this, the passage begins with this language: "For the Lord God is our sun and our shield." The sun, after all, is what gives us life. The sun provides us with heat. The sun guides us out of darkness and into the light. But it also says God is our shield to protect us from all that is around us, something to guard us. Many years ago, I was elected in the Boy Scout movement to an organization called the Order of the Arrow. And after several years, I was selected to receive the highest rank called Vigil. Before I received that award, I had to spend the night out in the wilderness with no form of light. I only had a few tools with me, and part of those tools were to help me make a fire, which I then had to keep burning all night long. It was difficult stumbling around in the darkness, in the middle of some place unfamiliar, until I finally got the campfire going and I found some light. The scriptures talk a lot about us being in darkness, but we never think of darkness in the sense of emotional darkness, or financial darkness, or intellectual darkness, and certainly not spiritual darkness. The prophet Isaiah asks the question in chapter 50, verse 10, "Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on God." The prophet tends to suggest that our degree of light is related to the trust we have in God to provide that light for us. My grandfather worked part-time as a coal miner in southern Illinois. When he went down into the mine, the only light he had was on the lamp on his hat. Now that light shined only about 25 feet. And so if he were walking down a long tunnel, he could never see the end of the tunnel because his light only went 25 feet. But as he walked down the tunnel, the light kept moving forward down the tunnel until eventually he would walk enough to be at the end of the tunnel, and the light would have illuminated his path the entire way. When the Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, it suggests that we cannot just read the word once and have all the light we want. We must keep reading, and we must keep getting that light. This is, after all, a God of grace and glory. This God of grace and glory brings light into our lives to show us the way and to offer us protection. But the light needs to be constantly sought out and then constantly followed. The second concept of God from our reading is that God is our provision. God provides. What's interesting about God's providing toward us is that God provides through grace. Listen to what Paul says about grace in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is unconditional, and God's grace is undeserved. But God's grace does exist for us, and in that grace, God provides for us. I grew up in an Italian family, and I had a grandmother who lived in Collinsville, Illinois, and I often have mentioned in a sermon or two about my grandma Laurenti and her miraculous fridge. Of course, Italians, you know, are known for food and hospitality, and my grandma would spend most of the day cooking, and then she would stuff all that food in her rather small refrigerator. She would do that so no matter who stopped by or when they stopped by, she was always able to pull out some provisions out of her fridge to feed them. There was never a time the fridge was empty, and it seemed like she could just keep pulling dish after dish, and it would never run out. In the same way, God provides for us over and over again without that provision running out. Sometimes that provision is physical food. Sometimes it's spiritual food. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement from a friend. Sometimes it's support when we're dealing with a crisis. There's a steel plant in Granite City, Illinois. And while it's given much employment opportunities to many, it's had its ups and downs, and many people were hired, then laid off, then rehired again. Such a story happened to one of the parishioners of the church my wife was pastor of. The dad was laid off. The mom was still recovering from a terrible car accident. The bills were piling up. The rent was due. The credit cards were at their limits. There was no money for food. But this was a family of faith, and they prayed each night for God to provide. One day, out of the clear blue, the wife got a note from her bank that an automatic deposit in the amount of $5,000 had been placed in her account. For the life of her, she could not imagine where it came from, and while she thought it would be helpful, she wanted to be honest with the bank, so she went down to the bank office to point out the mistake in that deposit. It was no mistake. The bank checked, and it was a legitimate transfer into her account. Still confused, when she got home, there was a letter from her insurance company. And the letter said that the insurance company of the other driver that was involved in the accident with her settled because they admitted that it was their fault, and they were now going to pay for all of the repairs, all of the hospital bills, and they were going to send a wire transfer for her out-of-pocket expenses to her account for $5,000. God provides. And this was just enough to take care of this family until the husband was called back to work. The God of grace and the God of glory provides. Finally, the picture we have from this reading is that God is a God of promise. Listen again to what it says. No good thing will be withheld to those whose walk is blameless. Of course, the Old Testament was filled with prophet after prophet who brought the promise of the Messiah, who would change the course of the world. But I like to always pause and look for a moment at the promises we have directly from the mouth of Jesus. Listen to three of these promises from Jesus from the Gospel of John and one promise from Matthew. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the fullest." John 14:13, Jesus says to his disciples, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me so that you also will be where I am." And Jesus reminds his followers in John 14:16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." And the final promise is the last of Jesus' dialogue on earth, and it's contained in Matthew 28:20b. Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The God of grace and the God of glory is a God of promise, promises made and promises kept. Many years ago, I did a sermon series which I turned into a book that I'm yet to publish, but it's in the works. It's a series about stories from Dr. Seuss. I took 12 of those stories and used those as the basis for 12 sermons. One sermon was based on the character Horton. Horton was a huge elephant that was tricked into sitting on an egg so that a bird by the name of Maisie could party until she dropped. Horton went through quite a few challenges by sitting on that egg, and whenever anyone questioned his stupidity, here is what he said. "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant is faithful 100%. God is a God of grace and glory. God is a God of protection, a God of provision, and a God of promise, and a God who is faithful to us if we are willing to be open to God, faithful 100%. Today, I hope when you think about God, you think about the protection, the provision, and the promise, and you wrap yourself around this God 100%. Amen and amen. TPC continues to be closed to in-person worship due to being in at least mitigation tier 1, which limits any inside gathering to 25. If we go to tier 2, that will limit gatherings to just 10, but we continue to reach out through our radio show on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. We also continue to post a different Facebook worship on our Facebook page. And starting the week after November 29th, I'm leading a new online Bible study called They Were There. It's based on the characters in Scripture who had something to do with the birth of Jesus. The lesson is a PowerPoint presentation and is emailed to everyone. So if you want to be on our email list, simply call Debbie at our church office. In 1895, James Milton Black, a Sunday school teacher who got upset one Sunday because as he was calling the roll for his Sunday school class, found someone who had been regularly attending was missing that day. After checking on the student, he found out that the student had pneumonia, but the family didn't have any money to even call a doctor or to get any medicine, so Black agreed to pay all the medical expenses. He could not fathom being absent then in heaven when God called you on that roll, and so that inspired him to write the words to this hymn of the church. Please join the TPC singers under the direction of Jeff Prince as they lead us in "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder."
The road's gonna
please now join me in our morning prayer. God of the universe, God of the world, God of this country, God of this state, God of this community, God of our church family, God of our radio audience, God of all, we live in complicated times. We live in days when we need to know your protection, your provision, and your promise. Lord, open us to realize your presence even in these confusing and frustrating days. Walk with us to keep us focused on you and relying on you to be our God, our strength, and our salvation. Guide our healthcare providers as they give hours upon hours to help those afflicted with COVID. Be with our first responders who still need to do their jobs and go into unknown places. Protect them as they protect and serve us. Be with those who face struggles in health, in finances, in decision-making, in sorrow, in loss of hope, in uncertainty of the future. Remind them of your promises so that they may walk a path in relationship with you and they may experience you both in an eternal and in an abundant way. Bless the ministries of our church and all we do to keep the message of salvation spread throughout our area, and use us in a variety of ways to bring peace to our part of the world. Now be with us this day and all days going forward. In Jesus we ask, amen. Our praise team now sends us out today with a song often used as a sending song in the church, God Will Be With Us Till We Meet Again.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again.
May the Lord go with you from this place and into the world to experience the protection, provision, and promise of God Almighty and Jesus the Son, as we are led this day and all days by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks again for joining us for this radio worship. Much appreciation to Jeff Prince and as the TPC Music Director, to the TPC Praise Team and the TP Singers, to Seth Hood, our recording engineer, to Matt Miller, who does all our post-production editing. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor of TPC. Have a blessed week, and please stay safe out there.